Chapter 32. A loud roar of applause erupted in the public galleries and swept over the delegates on the main floor below as Haller refused all assistance and slowly made her way to the podium on crutches. She stood behind the podium, poised and serene, speaking in a strong, convincing voice. Her theatrics were low-key and subtle. She moved the audience with an emotional appeal to stop the useless killing of innocent people in the name of religion. Only when she called for a censure of governments that turned a blind eye toward terrorist organizations did a few delegates shift in their seats and stare into space. An undercurrent of murmurs trailed her news of the forthcoming Alexandria Library discovery as the immense potential took time to sink in. Then Ahmad Yazid came in for a scathing attack as she accused him directly of the attempts on her life. Haller concluded by firmly stating she would not be driven out of her position as Secretary General by threats of future harm, but would remain until her fellow delegates asked for her resignation. The response was a standing ovation that became thunderous as she stood off to one side of the podium and displayed the cast on her ankle. "She's some lady," said the President admiringly. "What I wouldn't give to have her sit in my cabinet." He pressed the off button on a remote control, and the television screen went black. "An excellent speech," said Senator Pitt. "She tore Yazid apart, and made a good pitch on the library search project." The President nodded. "Yes, she came through for us on both counts. You know, of course, she's leaving for Uruguay to confer with President Hassan." "Dale Nichols briefed me on the conversation you had with her on the plane," the President acknowledged. He was seated behind his desk in the Oval Office. "How do we stand on the search?" "NUMA's computer facility is working on a location," answered the senator. "Are they close?" The senator shook his head. "No closer now to a breakthrough than they were 4 days ago. Can't we speed up the process, bring in a think tank, university people, other government agencies?" Senator Pitt looked doubtful. "NUMA has the finest computer library in the world on oceans, lakes, and rivers. If they can't find the destination of the Egyptian fleet, no one can." "What about archaeological and historical records?" the President suggested. "Maybe something's been uncovered in the past that could offer a clue." "Might be worth a try. I know a good man at Penn State University who's a AAA researcher. He can have 30 people digging the archives here and in Europe by this time tomorrow." "Good, give him a crack at it." "Now that the news media and Haller have spread the word," said the senator, "half the governments and most of the fortune hunters of the world will be on the hunt for the library collection." "I considered that probability going in," the president said, "but propping up President Hassan's government takes top priority. If we make the discovery first and then pretend to back down after Hassan makes a dramatic show of demanding the artifacts be returned to Egypt, his domestic popularity will take a big jump and make him a hero in the eyes of the Egyptian people." "While stalling off the threat of a takeover by Yazid and his followers," added the senator. "The only problem is Yazid himself. The man is extremely unpredictable. Our best Middle East experts can't read him. He's liable to pull a rabbit out of the hat and steal the scene." The president looked at him steadily. "I see no problem in cutting him out of the limelight when the artifacts are turned over to President Hassan." "I'm on your side, Mr. President, but it's dangerous to underestimate Yazid. He's far from perfect." "Yes, but unlike the Ayatollah Khomeini, Ahmad Yazid is a brilliant intellect. He's what the advertising agencies call a good concept man. In political areas, perhaps, but hardly in assassinations." The senator shrugged and smiled knowingly. "His plans were, no doubt, screwed up by his henchmen. As president, you know better than anyone how easily an aide or advisor can botch a simple project." The president smiled back without humor. He leaned back in his chair and toyed with a pen. "We know damned little about Yazid, where he came from, what makes him tick. He claims to have spent the first 30 years of his life wandering the Sinai Desert talking to Allah. So he's lifted a page from Jesus Christ. What else do we have on him?" "You might ask Dale Nichols," answered the senator. "I understand he's working with the CIA on building a biographical and psychological profile. Let's see if they've come up with anything." The president pressed a button on his intercom. "Dale, can you come in for a minute?" "Be right there," came Nichols' voice over the speaker. Neither of the men in the Oval Office spoke during the 15 seconds Nichols took to walk from his office. He knocked, then opened the door and stepped in. "We were discussing Ahmad Yazid," the president informed him. "Have Brogan's people turned up any data on his background?"
"I talked to Martin only an hour ago," replied Nichols. "He said his analysts should have a file put together in another day or two."
"I want to see it the minute it's completed," said the president. "Not to change the subject," said Senator Pitt, "but shouldn't someone brief President Hassan on what we've got in mind, in case the library collection can be pinpointed in the next few weeks?" The president nodded. "Definitely." He stared directly at the senator. "Think you could sneak off for 48 hours and do the honors, George?"
"You want me to meet with Hassan in Uruguay?"
It was more a statement than question.
"Do you mind?"
"This is really a matter for Doug Oates over at the State Department. He and Joe Arnold from Treasury are already in Kingston holding preliminary meetings with foreign economic leaders. Do you think it wise to go behind his back?"
"Ordinarily, no, but you're better informed on the search project. You've also met with President Hassan on 4 different occasions, and you're close to Hala Kamil. Simply put, you're the best man for the job."
The senator lifted his hands in resignation. "No heavy votes coming up in the Senate. My staff can cover for me. If you arrange for a government plane, I can leave here early Tuesday, meet with Hassan that evening, and report back to you the following afternoon."
"Thank you, George. You're a good scout."
The president paused and then sprang the trap.
"There is one other thing."
"There always is," the senator sighed.
"I'd like you to inform President Hassan in private, under the strictest secrecy, that I will fully cooperate with him in the event he decides to remove Yazid."
The senator's voice was shocked. "Since when does the White House deal in political assassination? I implore you, Mr. President, do not lower your office into the slime with Yazid and other terrorists. If someone had had the foresight to take Khomeini for a ride 12 years ago, the Middle East would be a far more peaceful place. King George might have said the same about George Washington and the colonies in 1778.
"Come now, George, we could spend all day making comparisons. The final decision is up to Hassan. He has to give the go-ahead."
"A bad idea," said the senator resolutely. "I have grave doubts about such an offer. If this leaked out, it could shatter your presidency."
"I respect your advice and honesty. That's why you're the only man I can trust to deliver the message."
The senator caved in. "I'll do as you ask, and gladly brief Hassan on the library proposal, but don't expect me to sell him on Yazid's murder, even if it's deserved."
"I'll see that Hassan's staff is alerted to your arrival," said Nichols, stepping in diplomatically.
The president rose from behind his desk, signaling the end of the conference. He shook hands with the senator.
"I'm grateful, old friend. I look forward to your report Wednesday afternoon. We'll have an early supper together."
"See you then, Mr. President.
Have a good flight."
As Senator Pitt left the Oval Office, he had a dire sense that the president might very well be dining alone Wednesday evening.